Good morning. I think that's on. Nice to see everybody here today. We have a few visitors with us. We're awful glad that you are attending worship with us today to worship our God. Nice to see Andrew again. He's still in town training with the airlines. We're glad that you're able to come back with us. We're going to have the last of the lessons on the letters to the seven churches that Jesus revealed to the Apostle John. Today is the church at Laodicea. One thing before we get into this, it's a theme that is throughout the Bible from the beginning to the end. It was a concept that we talked about this morning in Dick's Bible class, that the nature of man has not changed. We see principles in the New Testament, principles in the Old Testament about people. The issues are the same today. Those people are like we are. The nature of God has not changed. And that's one thing I'd like to really stress, that yes, these were letters to congregations, but I think we can see in the seven letters to the seven churches in Asia, we can see the concepts that these are messages to real people, and it applies to us today as congregations of the Lord's church, but it can also, even though they were written to congregations, I think we can take heart in the messages as an individual also. When God is talking to groups of people, it applies to us as individuals also in many ways. Amen. We're going to look at the church at Laodicea, and it is in Revelation 3, verses 14 through 22. And this is sometimes referred to as the lukewarm church. Some of the different congregations kind of had different things that they were known for. And if you had to boil it all down to one thing, they were kind of known as lukewarm. These are some ruins of the city of Laodicea. It was a very large and prosperous city. They had a school of medicine there. They were very advanced. This is, you know, when I think of people, you know, in this first century, I sometimes think of very backwards people that you know, they walked around, they rode chariots, they didn't have the technology that we do. But, you know, in a lot of ways, this was a very advanced city. They were known far and wide for a number of very diverse products, not only their school of medicine. One of the things they produced there was, and I think I'm pronouncing it right, Phrygian powder, and it was used to make an eye salve. And that was one of the focuses in the school of medicine, that people would come far and wide to either get this medicine or to seek out the doctors that were being produced at this school if they had eye ailments. They also, in this area, were known for the black wool that they produced. And they had herds of black sheep, and it produced a very luxurious, and I don't know what it was different about this kind of wool. To me, wool is kind of itchy and scratchy, at least wool that I have worn. But it was a lot softer wool for some reason. And it was dark black, and people would come. They made a very good living selling this black wool and raising these black sheep, in addition to the elements to make this eye salve that was highly sought after. All of these things, keep that in the back of your mind as we read the letter to the congregation here at Laodicea. One of the things I found so interesting is when you look at this information, every individual congregation had kind of a unique personality, something that they were known for. And the information that was included in the letters are very, very individualized. And I've often wondered if Jesus was telling us at South Valley, or, you know, a different congregation or whatever, if they were writing a letter to us, what would they say? And there would be very unique and individual phrases in there. But this is some of the information we're going to see will come up in this letter. This was an aqueduct. It has survived time. Just an archaeological, you know, and architectural, wonder to me how people back then could have built things like this. This is where how the city of Laodicea got their main water supply. It came from over 5 miles away, and it was from hot springs. And it's interesting that by time it got to Laodicea, it was lukewarm. It wasn't cold. It wasn't like the spring was bubbling up right there in their city, and they drew it from wells and stuff like this, and nice ice cold. I think the best water I've ever drank in my life was growing up right out of the front garden hose. It was, for some reason, ice cold. And you'd be out there playing, and we'd take a break from whatever we were doing, playing football in the street or playing army or something like that. We'd take a break. I'd run to that hose, turn it on, and it was, for a little boy that was hot and sweaty, douse my head with it. That was the best water. But they couldn't drink it right away when it got there, because they'd have to let it cool down even more because it was lukewarm. Who wants to drink lukewarm water? We're not even talking like room temperature. It was still slightly warm from the hot springs. And all of this is going to come into play. In verse 14, it starts out, and this is the last of the letters that Jesus revealed to John to write to the church at Laodicea. And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, "These things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God." Every letter started out similar ways. Jesus established his credibility with these people that I am the Lord God telling you these things. This is not just somebody's opinion. This is Jesus himself, the Son of God, and he portrays himself as the Amen, the faithful and true witness. These things that I'm going to say to you are worth listening to. I'm not just some Joe Blow on the street. Listen to what I'm saying. I am the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. If you can't listen to the things that this entity is getting ready to tell you, I don't know who you should listen to. And he starts out, uses the same phrase as with every congregation. If it was written to us, if it was written to you individually, me individually, I know your works. I know the things you do good, and I know the things that you do that are displeasing to me. The things that you do behind people's back that you think nobody else sees, the things that you get away with to other people, I know, because I am the faithful and true witness. I am the Lord God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold or hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. That is strong words. That is some strong words to Christians. We know that the situation with their water, you know, and Jesus says, I wish you were one or the other. One or the other, think of cold or hot water. There's useful things from each one. Cold water refreshes. Cold water can be used medicinally to take down swelling, to take away fever. I remember being, you know, sick and bringing a cold rag and putting it on my head, and it just feels so good. There's good uses for cold water. There's good uses for hot water, for hot things. Soaking in a, you know, you think of it like a jacuzzi or the hot springs, medicinally. It feels good, makes those sore joints and muscles kind of feel a lot better. Hot water in soup and stuff. I don't know about you. I love hot chocolate. I like hot chocolate. I don't like room temperature, lukewarm chocolate. Like warm soup, not room temperature soup. Jesus is saying, there's usefulness for hot or cold. You're neither. You're neither. I wish you were one or the other. But because you are lukewarm, I will vomit you out of my mouth. That is such strong language. It's not, I'm just going to cast you aside. I'm going to vomit you out of my mouth. Verse 17, because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. They're rich. The people that lived in Laodicea, they had good incomes for the various reasons. These are ruins of Laodicea. That rich culture, that rich society did not last. Earthly things do not last. And Jesus is telling them, because you say I'm rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and you don't know that you are, here's some other strong words, you don't realize that you're actually wretched and miserable. When people are deceived, when they deceive themselves, kids in the audience, I'm excluding you. But I look at kids at school that really think they're mature. And the ones that really think they are some of the most immature. They don't get it. They don't get it that the way they act sometimes is so disgraceful and it almost makes people laugh at them. But yet they think they're mature. Jesus is telling these people, you think you've got it all covered. You think because you're rich and because you think you've got it going on and have need of nothing physically, earthly, that you're okay. But you know what? You're really wretched. You're miserable, at least in my eyes. You're poor. They thought they were rich, and they might have had money in their pocket. But you're actually poor. You're blind. People came from all around for their eye medicine. You're blind. And you're naked. One of the biggest resources of that area was that black wool. People came from all around and paid good money for it. You know they were dressed to the nines. You're wretched, you're miserable, you're poor, you're blind, and naked. And you're so mistaken. Verse 18, because of that, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich. You get your riches from me, not the world. That you may be rich. And white garments. People come to you for the black garments. You need to be wearing white garments in my eyes. It's not necessarily about the color of clothes you wear. You need to be wearing white garments that are pure, that are seen by me as pure, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes, not with the eye salve you produce. Anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see. And where does that salve come from? The Word of God. That you may open your eyes and actually see. Jesus not only is telling the Laodiceans this, he addressed it with his disciples in Luke 12:16-21. It says, then he spoke a parable to them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops? So he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there I will store my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease. Eat, drink, and be merry. Take it easy. You've worked hard. You deserve it. What's the McDonald's? You deserve a break today? You know, you deserve it. Take your ease. But God said to him, fool. This is the same message, kind of, that was being preached to the Laodiceans. Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. He's telling the Laodiceans, he's telling his disciples the same message, that if you're laying up for yourselves earthly treasures, that's not going to last. And especially in comparison to the spiritual. Verse 19, back in Revelation, goes on to say, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. This is a constant theme that we see Jesus wanting people to repent of their sins. In Proverbs 3:12 it says, for whom the Lord loves, he corrects. Just as a father, the son in whom he delights. We as parents correct our children. Why? Because we love them. We want the best. We want to direct them and guide them in the worst possible way. We want them to do good because we love them. God loves us. When he ignores us, that's when he's done with us. He corrects whom he loves. Verse 20. Behold, Jesus says, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him and he with me. This is a personal situation. I will come in, I will sit, I will dine with you. Jesus is there knocking. He's knocking at the door of the Laodiceans and is waiting for them to welcome him in. Hopefully they will. If he was writing to us, he'd be saying the same thing. I'm right here for you. Individually, he's right here for us. Amen. But we have to open the door. In verse 21, to him who overcomes, another constant message, to him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne. We talked about in Bible study today, we're heirs. We are heirs with Christ of God's blessings. As I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. We are fellow heirs with Christ. And verse 22, he who has an ear, let him hear. Jesus has ended his revelation to John in these letters to the churches the same way. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Don't let these words just go in one ear and out the other. One of the cartoons I watched growing up, Foghorn Leghorn, a big rooster. Boy, I was pitching and you ain't a catching. You know, that's what Jesus is saying. Listen to what I'm saying. Now, in summary of all of these seven letters, there has been the same way Jesus has portrayed himself with authority. He's used it in various ways. He holds the seven stars. He walks in the midst of the seven gold lampstands. He's the first, he's the last. Was dead and came to life. Has a sharp two-edged sword. Has feet like a flame and feet like firing brass. Has seven spirits of God and seven stars. He is holy and true. Has the key of David. Opens and no one can shut, and he shuts and no one can open. He's the Amen. He's the faithful and true witness. He's the beginning of the creation of God. That's how he has portrayed himself with authority. Now, the things that he has said, he's credible. He is the Son of God.
Amen.
And these are the consistent messages that he's given to the seven churches, to us today, and to us individually. He has credibility and authority. He knows our works individually and as a congregation. He wants us to be steadfast. He warns us to be steadfast. He will reward the faithful, and he will punish the unfaithful. He warns us to repent. In every one, well, of the churches that he had something against, he warns them to repent. He's patient, and he will give you time. But in every situation, the message, don't wait too long. If you have sin in your life, God would love for you to repent. If there's something standing between you and being a member of his church, if there's one little thing, he's given you time. He's granted you the life to live this long for you to turn to Christ. If you need to turn to Christ, put him on in baptism. If you need to repent of sins, if you need prayers of the congregation, whatever your need, please come forward as Daryl leads us in the invitation song.